Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Health Matters, a program for those who are sick and in need of a physician, of body and soul. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. I'm Juliana Krieger and this is Health Matters. In this show, we look at the psychological, social and spiritual implications that illnesses have on patient and family. In the first half, we speak to Dr. Andrew Nicholson about the practical and more physical implications. In the second half, Pastor Lynn Hansen considers the spiritual struggles that chronic and terminal patients face. But both doctor and pastor hope to do more than that. They also want to give guidance and comfort to the weary and burdened soul, and to remind them that God is with them and for them, no matter what comes their way. Thank you all for your emails, comments and questions from last week. Today our topic is hepatitis. Dr. Andrew, what is hepatitis?
The word hepatitis can be divided into the hepatite part is Greek or Latin for liver, and itis means inflammation, so it's inflammation of the liver. The liver is the organ that's actually positioned underneath your right breast, under the arch of the diaphragm, and it's one of the largest organs in the body. It essentially runs the whole body from the metabolic point of view. So if you get an inflammation of the liver, it presents quite often as the liver not working properly. Certainly, you can, if you get liver inflammation, you can destroy a number of liver cells and you get quite a lot of inflammation therein. It can be caused by viruses of varying sorts. Hepatitis is one of these illnesses that every now and again somebody finds another virus. At the moment, we seem to be up to E. So we have hepatitis A, B, C, D and E. D and E are quite small print and I wouldn't want to talk about those. But hepatitis A, B and C are important. Glandular fever caused by the Epstein-Barr virus can cause hepatitis as well. There are other causes other than viruses. The commonest one that our listeners will be aware of is alcohol intake. A significant and chronic alcohol intake can cause severe hepatitis. There are other things that occur in tropical areas such as amoebic infections. And some other medicines, especially paracetamol poisoning, can cause hepatitis.
Who's more prone to getting it?
Once upon a time, we were all prone to get it. In this country, there was quite a lot of hepatitis A around, but this is an acute viral infection that will present with a feeling of malaise and being unwell and then turning yellow and then recovering. And this tends to occur over 2 to 4 weeks, and recovery is usually complete. Hepatitis A is now unheard of in this country, other than brought back from abroad. Certainly, the more tropical areas of the world will have endemic hepatitis A. It is spread by the, and I'm sorry about this, the orofecal route. Essentially, this means that if people excrete it in their stools and they're not very good at washing their hands and they're involved in the preparation of food, then they can pass it on to you. And so it does underline the importance of good quality food preparation. Also, certain foods such as shellfish quite often can have hepatitis A within them. Hepatitis B is spread usually by sexual contact, and this can of course cause a problem if it is spreading through a township, because we'd have to look hard at the contacts of people. Hepatitis C seems to be blood-to-blood spread, and it can occur through poorly prepared blood products and also people who share needles. This is a very sneaky virus in that it quite often will not present for many years and then gradually appear as cirrhosis, and it really is connected with the late onset of cancer of the liver.
Can it be detected in its early stages, and what signs can help us to identify hepatitis?
We need to divide it into chronic and acute illnesses. In an acute illness, you'll present with the typical feelings of feeling like flu, tired, exhausted, a bit of a fever, feeling a bit sick, poor appetite. Most specifically, changes in taste perception. People find that cigarettes don't taste as well as they used to, for instance, or food tastes like cardboard. Sometimes people get pain underneath the right ribs because of the enlarged liver. And quite often people have aches and headache and skin rash. Then, as the liver stops working properly, you get the obstructive phase where because the liver has stopped working, one of its jobs, the liver's jobs, is to clear away the breakdown products of hemoglobin, the molecule that carries oxygen in the blood. And because this is not removed from the blood, it builds up into a large amount and will show as appearing yellow. We all know, we've heard of people who are said to be yellow, but if you've ever seen a jaundiced person, they're almost a dusky brown rather than yellow. And they have because they're not producing the pigment into the stools, stools turn yellow and are offensive. This period lasts up to a week or a fortnight at worst. And then the recovery phase, as the liver begins to take over its normal functions, can last for weeks or months. Certainly people who have this disease need to avoid the substances that can make things worse, most specifically paracetamol and alcohol. It's imperative that people who have had hepatitis, an acute hepatitis, need to avoid alcohol for at least 6 months, probably a year. Now, chronic hepatitis quite often has no symptoms. You may have been being involved in risky behaviours such as injecting substances into your veins, or you may not have been very sexually continent, but you would tend to present just as feeling a wee bit off. Jaundice quite often presents very late with chronic hepatitis, and it's a sign that cirrhosis has set in. The liver is an organ that is able to repair itself pretty well, and by the time it's unable to repair itself, things have come to a pretty pass. Essentially, the people who are at risk of hepatitis are those who don't behave themselves or who have food that has a significant problem associated with it. Of course, the other way to avoid developing hepatitis is to be sensible in the amount of alcohol you drink. In this country, we talk of units, and probably nobody ought to drink more than 4 units a day. And if anything, have maybe at least 1 or 2 alcohol-free days in a week.
Which instances of the illness can people be inoculated against? Which cases can only be administered? And in extreme cases, demand palliative care?
Essentially, if you have acute hepatitis, then it is perfectly safe, usually, to let it run its course, and you are unlikely to have any sequelae, any consequences in the future. Chronic hepatitis is quite different. Chronic hepatitis can be prevented against by inoculation, as can hepatitis A. Hepatitis A, you can be inoculated as part of your travel inoculations if you are going abroad. Hepatitis B quite often is needed to be inoculated against if you are in an occupation that may come across this, particularly police, paramedics, doctors, nurses need inoculation against hepatitis B because they may come across people whose bodily fluids may come in contact with them. If you have chronic hepatitis, you need to try and live as normal a life as possible. If you have hepatitis B, you have to inform your family and your sexual partners, because they will need protecting by getting inoculated against it. If you have hepatitis A, you need to inform the family so that everybody can practice good hygiene, because if you remember, I described the way in which it can be passed on. If you have hepatitis B or C, this needs to be managed probably within a hospital setting at outpatients, because you will need antiviral agents to try and prevent its destroying your liver completely. About a fifth of the patients with chronic hepatitis B and C are at risk of developing cirrhosis or cancer of the liver late on. Hepatitis C is very sneaky, because it quite often doesn't present itself as a problem for a decade or three after the exposure. Essentially, everybody who has had risky use of needles needs testing to see whether they have hepatitis C.
Doctor, can you give us a 5 items checklist, say for someone who fears they might have been involved in risky situations and wants to identify or know if they have hepatitis?
If this happens very recently, the sensible thing to do is to go to an STD clinic, a sexually transmitted diseases clinic, who will have the expertise to be able to check you out for this. Certainly, if you've got feelings of exhaustion and being unwell, seeing your GP would help, because he would be able to check you out to see whether you have any significant signs of hepatitis in your blood. I think also looking out for the jaundice phase. Obviously, if you start to go yellow, you need to get advice about this. Mind you, there are people who have a certain swarthy nature who have sometimes there are people who have levels of bilirubin, the pigment in their blood that is higher than usual. And these people quite often will look rather yellow in artificial light. We always are taught to go and check people's yellowness in natural sunlight, and quite often the yellow in your room becomes white in the sunlight.
What practical advice would you give to an individual who has got hepatitis and to their families?
The advice is essentially you need to realise that there's a fair likelihood that some of this has occurred because of how you've been behaving in the past. So you need to cut down your use of drugs, specifically alcohol and paracetamol, for instance. You need to be continent into your sexual behaviour. The more people you have sex with, the greater likelihood you are to develop these diseases. I'm really not talking about hepatitis A, because that is an acute illness is self-limiting and not of itself dramatically serious. But these other chronic infections of the liver are important. As I've mentioned before, your body's a temple, and really it's imperative you look after it as best as possible. You need to become sexually continent, make sure you use condoms, and really don't use intravenous drugs unless they are provided by a doctor.
Doctor, thank you. We're going to take a break now, and when we come back, Pastor Lynn Hansen will speak to us of his experiences in the spiritual care of people affected by hepatitis. Stay tuned, because there's more to come. We'll be right back after these messages.
The value of Sunday school by those who attend Sunday school. Here's Gabriella, aged 11.
I absolutely love Sunday school. It's both educational and fun. And you get to learn all that our Saviour Jesus did and does for us. In my congregation, the younger children listen to stories from the Bible and make arts and crafts based on the lessons. The older children read from the Bible and write down the key events. Then they talk about them with the teacher's guidance.
But don't take Gabriella's word for it. Bring your children to Sunday school and let them find out for themselves. Our Sunday schools are all about Jesus and to all God's children. Find out where your nearest Lutheran congregation is on lutheran.co.uk.
Let's find out why people go to Bible studies.
They really help me to understand what the passage is all about.
To understand all that the passages mean.
Being with other people and discussing various verses.
Because it gives me a chance to get deeper into God's Word and to think out what I really believe.
Pastor, why are Bible studies important?
Bible study is so important because we go to God's Word because He speaks to us through it.
Through the study of the Bible, God provides comfort and guidance for life. Go to Lutheran.co.uk to find the Lutheran church that is closest to you and join your local Lutheran Bible study group.
Bible study, great food, great fellowship, and you even get to learn a little bit about God.
Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. We hope that you are enjoying our program, because it's all about Christ and to all God's people. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. We're back with Health Matters, and now we're going to hear from Pastor Lynn Hansen speaking to us about the spiritual care of people affected by hepatitis. Welcome back, Pastor. How stressful does hepatitis get to both patient and family?
Let us begin with prayer. O Father of mercies and God of all comfort, our only help in time of need, look with favor upon your servants who suffer from afflictions to body, mind, and soul. Assure them of your mercy, deliver them from the temptations of evil, give them patience and comfort during their time of affliction. If it please you, restore them to the fullness of health. Bestow your grace upon all to accept their tribulations with courage and hope, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Albert Einstein once said, "Learn from yesterday, live for today, and hope for tomorrow." At first glance, this quote sounds good, sounds selfish, and sounds hopeful. Yes, wise people learn from their past. If you study history, you will soon realize history repeats itself. Historians are called upon to teach us the past so the same mistakes aren't made again. If you examine your own past, you will realize the mistakes you made and hopefully be wise enough to not make them again. At first, the statement, "Live for today," sounds foolish. But to those who suffer from a life-ending disease, that is the best they can do. In reality, we all live for today because we don't know what tomorrow will bring. Death may visit us tonight. We live for today in service to others, not in self-service. We have hope for tomorrow. We hope to live a long, healthy, prosperous life. We hope life will be better. We hope to get well. So yes, we learn from yesterday. We enjoy life today. And we hope to enjoy life tomorrow. The sad reality for some is that they didn't learn from the past. They struggle to live another day, and they have little hope for tomorrow. We learn that there are three types of hepatitis and sources of infection. Usually illicit behavior in the past led to hepatitis infection. Once a person learned they had the disease, it was too late. They were infected for life, and the liver was severely damaged. Living for another day became a constant battle against the disease and its side effects. If the liver is severely damaged, there is little hope of a long and prosperous life. In other words, the person's past behavior caught up with them, causing present tense misery with little hope for tomorrow. Not all is lost. As with most afflictions, there is hope for recovery. The good news is that with all afflictions, there is hope in Jesus Christ. In his letter to the church in Rome, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer." Late one night, or I should say very, very early one morning, a nurse paged me. I called her on the telephone. She said there was a patient who wanted to speak to a chaplain. She explained the patient was very distraught, anxious, and seemingly overwhelmed. He suffered from hepatitis. The doctors were concerned about the damage hepatitis did to his liver. In a few hours, the patient was to undergo biopsies of his liver. I quickly proceeded to the patient's room. I entered the room and introduced myself. The patient looked terrible. His skin was discolored. His face looked old and worn for his young age, and he appeared to be very anxious. The patient told me his name was Bryce. Bryce explained his current medical status. He shared how in the past he lived a very sinful life, not caring what happened in the future. That night, Bryce's sinful past caught up with him in the present. Bryce realized he had little hope for his future on earth and doubted God loved him. He shared how he grew up a Christian, but in adulthood he ignored God most of his life. Now the reality of eternal life, separated from God, stared him right in the face. I explained to Bryce that sometimes that is how we are with our Father, God. We don't always listen to him or stay close to him. We want to live our life our way. We don't want God to spoil our fun, even if deep down we know that what we will consider fun is quite harmful to us physically and spiritually. Eventually, we all must face reality. Yes, Bryce sinned. Yes, he turned away from God. Yes, he brought self-destruction upon himself. The good news is this. The one true living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, loves us unconditionally. God is always there for us. St. Luke, in chapter 15 of his gospel, wrote how a father waited on the road for his wayward younger son to return. One day that son came home. The father forgave his son and restored him to the family. That is how God cares for us. God patiently waits for us. God the Holy Spirit shows us our sin and works a contrite heart within us. He moves us to quit rejecting God. He helps us to repent of our sin, to turn away from sinful behavior, to run to God. God is faithful and just. For Jesus' sake, God the Father forgives our sin and remembers it no more. That night I assured Bryce of God's love. I told Bryce God was with him and would remain with him as long as he lived. Bryce thanked me for visiting him. As I left, I noticed Bryce's worn face. It had a smile on it. Deep within, Bryce knew God loved him and would care for him no matter what the biopsies revealed. The same is true for all who trust in God. He loves us. He cares for us. He forgives us of our sins. He won't make life perfect for us. But with God, there is always help and hope for tomorrow. Let us pray. Holy God, holy and most gracious Father in heaven, hear our prayers. We come before you empty-handed and afflicted. We beg you to pour out your mercy upon us. Provide for our daily needs, both physically and spiritually. You know what afflicts us. You know how we suffer from disease. If it be thy will, remove the disease from us and restore us to the fullness of good health. Bless us with a firm faith in you, knowing that whatever the outcome may be, we will remain steadfast in that one true faith to life everlasting. Comfort the afflicted. Grant them peace in knowing that you love and care for them. Forgive us our sin and help us to forgive others who sinned against us. In all things, grant us your peace. This we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. I encourage you to read the Epistle to the Romans. In this letter, the Holy Spirit guided the Apostle Paul to write on many and various spiritual topics, to include how we ought to live our lives in this world and the hope we have not only for tomorrow, but for all eternity. This is Chaplain Lynn Hansen saying so long for now.
Surgical Chaplain Lynn Hansen and Dr. Andrew Nicholson will rejoin us next week. Please keep sending your comments, questions, and suggestions on our show to info@lutheranradio.co.uk and help us improve your listening. We'll do our best to reply to every message. The podcast of this show is available for download from our website, lutheranradio.co.uk. You'll find us under Program. When you're there, take a look at our other shows and stay tuned. Goodbye for now, and God bless.